Blog Talk Radio.
To the cross in the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to welcome you today, Tuesday, October 25th, 2016, to a very special radio broadcast where today I'm remembering Rehane, a tribute to the beautiful soul of Rehane Jabari. And today, please join me in lighting a candle and honoring Rehane on the 2-year anniversary of her execution. This will be a very, very special broadcast today. Today, my thoughts and prayers are with Sholeh, Feridun, Shahri, and Shahzad, and all friends of Rehane, all over the world, all human rights activists that, just like me, 2 years ago, were devastated after a long, hard battle of speaking out, petitioning, and praying for Rehane to be freed. Instead, the evil regime executed a young, vibrant, beautiful 26-year-old girl who had spent the last 7 years of her life in prison for the crime of self-defense. Rehane was imprisoned and put to death for defending herself against a rape attack by Morteza Sarbandi, who was a former intelligence agent for the Ministry of Intelligence. Rehane is one among thousands of women tortured, imprisoned, and executed in Iran. And so today on the cross in the desert, what I want to do is honor her her family, and her friends. And I thank you so much for joining me today on this special broadcast. I awoke this morning very early, and actually an hour before I was supposed to awaken. The alarm didn't even sound. And I looked at my phone, and on my phone was a message from Rahane's mother, Shole, on Telegram. Couldn't believe my eyes. She had sent me 5 pictures from Rahane's graveside. And on Rahane's grave was a copy of the book that I wrote for her. Words cannot describe the emotion of what I saw. It has been such an honor to be her voice these last 2 years. And so today, what I want to do is I want to spend some time telling you who Rahane was. And to do that, I have my book here. I didn't have this last year at this time on the special broadcast, but this year I have a copy of my book, the very book that is resting on Rahane's graveside this morning. In the past 6 months since its publication, Iranians from Australia, Germany, Sweden, many other places, the UK, have read her story. It has been my intense prayer that Rahane's voice would be heard all over the world, in every culture, in every media outlet. And God has been so gracious to show me the little seeds as answer to my prayers about this. And so today, what I want to do to tell the story of Rahane is to read her story to you in specific sections of the book. I wish that I could read the whole book for you, but that would take hours. And instead, I have chosen actually 4 selections to read to you. And so what I'd like to do right now, and there will be a break after chapter 1, I'm going to read to you the preface in the first chapter, and then we'll take a break. This is my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. My beloved daughter, I will release your writings into the wind to spread your words like seeds. A tree whose fruit that cries the cries of justice and humanity. You will be the leader of those women who live in the shadows of rape day in and day out. Women who are living in the shadows, fearing an unjustified death resulting from rulings tainted with administrative corruption and patriarchy. Shole Pakravan, the mother of Rahane Jabari, December 20th, 2014. I, Rahane Jabari, am 26 years old, with a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of. I write to tell the tale that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by 4 forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. Rahane Jabari, prison letter number 1. In the court of the Creator, I will charge Dr. Sirbandi. I will charge Qasem Shabani and all those that out of ignorance or with their lies wronged me and trampled on my rights and didn't pay heed to the fact that sometimes what appears as reality is different from it. Dear soft-hearted Sholi, In the other world, it is you and me who are the accusers and others who are the accused. Let's see what God wants. I want to embrace you until I die. I love you. Rahane's final words to her mother. My dearest goddaughter, I could have never written this special book without your tireless dedication, day and night, suffering without sleep, sitting at your laptop translating the answers to all of my questions to Rahane's mother, Sholi Pakravan. You are truly my angel, living thousands of miles away as an Iranian refugee in Malaysia, anxiously waiting for a new home where you can worship freely without fear of imprisonment and death. I dedicate this book to you. You are the inspiration of my life, a devoted Christian who spends all of your time writing articles about the hopeless situation in Iran, so that I can read them on my radio program and be a voice for your family and friends suffering under the dictatorship of the Islamic regime. One day, you will return to Iran, dear Paymane, and be reunited with your loved ones once again when this cruel regime is no more. This is my hope and prayer for you. Dustat Daram Darpanihi Koda, Randy, November 5th, 2015. The Author's Journey of Pain, Wednesday, September 13th, 2 a.m. I had just arrived home from working at the hospital when I received a text from Sholi asking me to meet her and her daughter Shahzad on Skype. Even though I was exhausted from a hard night, I quickly responded to their text and immediately turned on my desktop computer. Sholi apologized for having called so late and asked me if I would like to join them this afternoon, 12 noon Tehran time. They were going to visit Rahane's grave and wanted me to accompany them for a very special ceremony. Words cannot adequately explain the emotion I felt at that moment. I told them I would be honored to join them at her grave. Sholi and Shahzad left their home and took their car to the graveside. They told me it would be about 2 hours, and when they arrived, they would open up Skype on their cell phone and video call me. I leaned back in my chair and began to visualize what it would be like to join them in a video ceremony on Skype at Rahane's graveside. At that exact moment, tears began to flood my eyes. For the first time since I agreed to be Rahane's voice for Sholi and write this book, I was gripped by an incredible feeling of emptiness and despair. I could feel their pain in a most profound way. It was then that I realized that my sudden feelings of pain were necessary to begin the journey of writing this book. That incredible night, I connected with Sholi and Shahzad in a very mysterious and providential way. The Lord was taking me by the hand and transporting me to Behesht Zahra Cemetery in Tehran to weep with them, to feel their despair, and to experience the intense pain they were both feeling since Rahane's execution. Unfortunately, 2 hours later, at 4 a.m., we were unable to connect via Skype because of the extremely low internet speed in Tehran, conveniently filtered and monitored by the dictatorship government. I was truly disappointed. I had prepared myself for an incredible experience, but Sholi and Shahzad didn't let me down. A few hours later, after I woke up, Sholi had sent me several beautiful pictures from Rahane's graveside. Sholi explained that they had both knelt at Rahane's grave and told her all about me and the book that I was writing, and then laid some red roses next to her tombstone in my honor. As I gazed at the pictures with sleepy eyes, I was both humbled and honored. Tears filled my eyes. I looked up and said a short prayer for Rahane. Later, with the help of my dear Iranian friend Peymeneh, I discovered what the inscription on Rahane's gravestone said, since it had been written in Farsi. In beautifully inscribed black written letters, a very special sentence, like a strong voice, echoed out to visitors at Rahane's grave, quote, "A world full of hope is sleeping here," end quote. Immediately, I realized that the evil Iranian regime had not been successful in destroying the hopes and dreams of Rahane. She was now resting safely in the arms of the God of all hope. Gazing closely at the picture of Rahane's grave, I was reminded of one of the most powerful statements ever uttered from the lips of Jesus. Quote, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." John chapter 11, verse 25. The words of Jesus in the midst of pain and sorrow are words of life, words of comfort, and words of assurance that true hope will never be lost. Jesus is a living Savior who has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and offers us his love and forgiveness. The journey of pain to Rahane's graveside that early morning was a necessary journey for me to write this book. I had to connect with their suffering in order to bring beauty out of the ashes and darkness of their despair. I truly have answered Rahane's plea in her prison letters when she wrote, quote, "Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. I have felt your pain, dear Rahane. I promise to be your voice for hope and justice." For me, Rahane was a kind and unbreakable soul far advanced beyond her 19 years. Not only did she defy her interrogators to the end with great courage, but also managed to see beyond her own misfortune in prison. Even while living under the shadow of the noose, she chose to focus on the fate of other prisoners less fortunate than her. Through her series of letters smuggled out of prison, we got to know her cellmates and the dire situation in one of Iran's most notorious women's prisons, Shahrireh. Rahane held us captive with her tales of prison and her astonishing kindness toward others under the shadow of death at such a young age. Rahane was and shall always remain one of the most extraordinary women of Iran, who lost her life for her truth with a daring defiance and uncommon valor. Shade Pave, translator of Rahane's prison letters. Dear Rahane, you are alive in the hearts of all women in Iran. You are a symbol of perseverance, the shout of injured women. You are a flower blossoming in the soil that will never surrender. There are thousands like you held captive in this land of animals. I wish I could have rescued you. I wish I could have taken your mom's hand and kissed your tears. But now you are safe at home with God, the place of Rahane's, the place of Netta's, the place of angels. Maral and Samar, Shiraz, Iran. In defense of her honor. In the Persian language, names have specific meanings that relate to life. The name Rahane means flower, fragrance. Ironically, my name in the English language, Randy, means defender. I don't believe that it's a coincidence that I'm writing this book for Rahane. I am not merely writing out of sympathy. It is much bigger than that. I believe I have the God-ordained task to live up to the meaning of my name. I want to be a defender of Rahane's honor as a woman. Rahane was the helpless victim of a man's uncontrollable sexual advances, and she did what any honorable woman would do by defending herself. In Iran, The unfortunate reality is that women are the property of men in a society that elevates the status of a man because of the Sharia law. According to the Quran, quote, men are superior to women, and the testimony of a woman is only worth half that of a man's. Surah chapter 2, 282, Surah chapter 4, 34. Rahane grew up in this kind of culture, and because she defended her honor against a former intelligence agent, her fate was sealed. The Iranian regime would do everything in its power to protect the reputation of a government man, which meant that Rahane had no hope of surviving, but instead would be sacrificed on the altar of convenience so that the Sarbandi name would not be tainted. Right before her execution, the regime brought in cameramen and reporters to pressure Rahane into changing her story. Just say, he did not try to rape me. In the midst of great pressure to preserve her life, Rahane refused to lie and compromise the truth. But instead, she stood strong and tall as a majestic mountain and looked in the face of her accusers and responded, I will not lie. The reason I chose the name A Beautiful Fragrance as the subtitle of my book is because Rahane exemplified and lived up to the meaning behind her name. She was a beautiful fragrance of honor, kindness, mercy, and courage. She forgave her interrogator shortly before her execution and showed kindness and compassion to the many women political prisoners who came from destitute and filthy walks of life. This book is about a remarkable, extraordinary, and inspiring woman who suffered greatly at the hands of an evil dictatorship and illuminated a dirty prison with the beautiful fragrances of her wonderful character. It is my honor and pleasure to defend her honor and tell her incredible story to the whole world. To Sholeh, you are an incredible woman of great faith and courage. None of us can comprehend the devastating pain of losing a child. The day Rahane died, you felt the intense pain of being stabbed through the heart by the sword of injustice. On the one-year anniversary of Rahane's execution, you asked a heart-wrenching question to your many followers on Facebook. I will never forget your question. I can still feel the anguish and despair when you asked, quote, does anybody know how to cure a crushed heart with a hole in it? End quote. Dear Sholeh, to answer your question, I want to tell you about a very special promise in the Bible that I pray will give you hope and healing again in the midst of your great pain and sorrow. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. Dear Sholeh, God understands your great pain because he became a man and died on the cross. He experienced intense and unimaginable pain and died a horrible death to forgive us of all of our sins. He loves you and desires to heal your broken heart. It is my sincere prayer that my book will give you hope again and bring healing and wholeness to your broken heart. Chapter 1, The Last Visit, October 24th, 2014. Sholeh Pakravan leaned over and gently put her hand on her mother's shoulder. Jalel had collapsed in tears and was sitting on the ground in front of the entrance of Sharayreh prison. Let's leave all of our tears here. We must be strong for Rahane. The gloomy fall day of Friday, October 24th, 2014, had begun with a phone call from the prison instructing Sholeh and her family to immediately come and see their daughter for the very last time. Rahane was scheduled to be executed at dawn on Saturday, the very next day. The last 6 months had been an agonizing emotional roller coaster ride for Sholeh. She had received a similar phone call back in April to come quickly to see Rahane for the last time. Then just a few hours later, the execution was postponed, and Sholeh was able to breathe a temporary sigh of relief. Then once again, on September 30th, another phone call summoning Sholeh for a final visit, and then another unexpected postponement. The mental torment had taken its toll on both Rahane and Sholeh, yet they were both grateful for the incredible effect a human rights campaign was having on their desperate situation. Nazanin Afshinjam, an Iranian-Canadian human rights activist, had been busy spearheading an international campaign to put pressure on the regime and stop the unjust execution. Working closely with two other Iranian activists, Shadi Pave and Shabnam Asadali, Nazanin had been very successful in getting more than 200,000 signatures on an international petition. The petition had connected with millions of people all over the world of the internet, and the Iranian regime was beginning to feel the pressure. Jaleh, Sholeh's mother, brushed herself off and stood up from sitting on the cold, hard ground. She realized she had to be strong for her granddaughter. It could be the very last time that she would ever gaze into her beautiful brown eyes and hold her in her arms. The Jabari family slowly made their way towards the iron door that led into Sharay Ray Prison. Sharay Ray Prison, an all-women's prison located in the city of Vehrehan, Iran, 34 miles from Tehran, had the reputation of being labeled hell on earth, where prisoners were deprived of their human dignity and any hope for freedom. There were a total of 7 wards with over 300 women packed together like cattle in each ward, resulting in serious overcrowding issues and the rampant spread of disease. A typical cell for the prisoners consisted of cement walls, hard cracked and dirty stone floors, with 4 rows of triple bunk beds to sleep on. There were 2 open toilets and 2 showers shared by more than 300 inmates. The air in the prison was suffocating air, and because of the lack of adequate ventilation, prisoners with respiratory diseases suffered immensely. Most prisoners died a slow and agonizing death, a type of silent execution from withholding medical treatment. The result was those scheduled for execution in most cases died from their untreated diseases before they could be transferred to be hanged. Lack of adequate medical care and lack of nutritious food added to the misery and suffering of the prisoners. A typical daily meal for each prisoner consisted of 2 loaves of stale bread and a potato. Guards at the prison were notorious for assaulting inmates, confiscating belongings, and subjecting them to harsh interrogations. Just a few months earlier, Sholeh was shocked to learn that there had been a deadly assault on the prisoners during an unscheduled inspection. Her first concern was that Rahane had suffered injuries during the raid. She was relieved to discover that her ward had not been chosen for the surprise inspection. The Pakravan and Jabari family stood together facing the iron door. Sholeh had been successful in consoling her mother, Jaleh. Jaleh had composed herself and wiped the tears away from her eyes. Accompanying Sholeh and her mother was her husband, Feridun, Rahane's 2 younger sisters, Shahzad, 21, and Shahri, 24, and her aunt, Nafis. Together, they slowly entered through the iron door. The iron door was a different entrance from the usual ones for visitations. They walked down a narrow corridor and arrived at an open door with a velvet curtain hanging down from the ceiling. At the entrance of the room, they were all bodily searched and instructed by the officer to leave their belongings in a small drawer. Sholeh protested, demanding to take their personal belongings with them and leave them in the car outside of the courtyard. The officer reluctantly agreed and allowed them to return and drive their car inside the prison yard where they would temporarily store their personal belongings. Standing together in the open courtyard, Sholeh gazed toward the prison manager's office building where they were going to meet Rahane. She remembered what she had posted on her Facebook page earlier in the week as she contemplated seeing her daughter for the last time. After 7.5 years, is this how my dear child comes to an end? Taking a nervous deep breath, Sholay walked through the iron door with the glass pane. Together, they walked down the short corridor and entered into the office building of Mr. Yusufi, the manager of the prison. Walking inside the office, Sholay noticed a large cherrywood conference table surrounded by 8 to 10 large black padded armchairs. In each corner of the room were 2 small black sofas with enough space for 4 people to sit on. Positioned in the center of the wall toward the left was a picture of Ayatollah Khomeini, the supreme leader of Iran. A short, stocky guard stood quietly in the center of the room against the wall. 2 ladies dressed in black chadors sat quietly on one of the sofas. The room was quiet, comfortable, and brightly lit with fluorescent bulbs. Aunt Nafis was the last person to enter into the office when a clicking noise startled Sholay. 2 female security guards appeared in the rear door, escorting Rahane on each side of her. Sholay's heart raced with excitement as she gazed directly into Rahane's beautiful brown eyes. Rahane stood completely still as the 2 guards left her alone and walked to the corner of the room. Sholay immediately noticed that Rahane wasn't feeling well. Her face was plush white and pale. Today, Rahane was beautifully dressed in blue jean trousers and a navy blue shirt. Her head was covered with a brand new white shawl peppered with tiny colorful butterflies that were carefully sewn into the material. She was also wearing a navy blue chador that was decorated with small white flowers. The chador was draped over her head, extending down across her shoulders and the length of her body. As always, Rahane looked elegant and stylish, standing tall at 5'9", looking like a beautiful bride on her wedding day. Rahane appeared calm and collected without emotion, staring intently into the faces of her family that had gathered together in the tiny office room. Sharer gazed proudly toward her sister. She had always remembered Rahane as strong as a mountain, never showing her emotions. She was so much like her father, Feridun, a person of few words. "Come here," Sholay calmly insisted, pointing toward a large armchair at the front of the conference table. "I want you to sit on my lap." For the first time since she entered the room, Rahane's face beamed with joy. "I am too heavy. Your lap will ache," Rahane replied with a childish grin on her face. Sholay remembered back in April when Rahane was suddenly scheduled to be executed. She had rushed to the prison for the last visit. At that time, she had asked her to sit on her lap, and Rahane replied in an offensive tone, saying, "No, I am not a child." Today, however, Rahane had willingly surrendered to her mother's wishes. She calmly walked over to the armchair and graciously sat down on her mother's lap. Sholay was overcome with emotion. She struggled to hold back the tears. For the first time in over 6 months, she could actually touch her daughter once again and hold her in her arms. Today, there wasn't a glass pane separating them as in other visitations. As she laid her head against Rahane's chest, hugging her tightly, Sholay could feel her body's warmth. It was unusually hot. She gently placed her hand across her forehead. "Rahane, you are sick. You have a fever." Rahane remained silent and lethargic. She did her best to stay calm. Sholay wrapped her arms back around her sick daughter and began gently kissing her on her forehead. She remembered when Rahane was 6, they had seen a pair of pigeons living on the roof of their house, and sometimes when they looked, the pigeons would put their beaks together to kiss each other. Since that memorable time, Sholay would kiss Rahane on the lips, imitating the pigeons on their roof. She laughingly referred to her kiss as, quote, "the pigeon's kiss." They would practice this together until Rahane turned 19, and then the magical kissing game faded away with maturity. However, today, and what could be the very last day Sholi would ever embrace her daughter, she pigeon-kissed her with a motherly delight once again. Embracing Rouhani today, Sholi's mind drifted back to the first day that she had held her in her arms as a newborn baby. It was a wonderful and indescribable feeling. Today, she refused to stop hugging her. Sholi refused to let her go. Sholi raised her head up from Rahane's chest and gazed deeply into her brown eyes. Rouhani, what would you like me to do? Rouhani remained silent as she nervously played with the string at the end of her shawl. Sholi asked once again, this time with an insistent tone in her voice, what would you like me to do for you? Rouhani smiled graciously and bent over whispering in her mother's ear for fear the guards were listening. Nothing. Sholi felt hopeless. She desperately wanted to say or do anything to give her daughter hope and to ease her mind. Why don't you ask me for anything? What food do you want? I don't want anything, Rouhani calmly answered. In an instant, her mood changed. Rouhani now had a look of frustration in her eyes. Do not ask to postpone the execution. Let it end. Sholi's face of hope melted in despair. She struggled to contain her emotions. She noticed the look of hopelessness in Rahane's eyes. How long would I be able to live? 80 years? 100? Or 150 years? How long must I suffer? Pulled Rahane's head firmly against her chest and gently kissed her forehead. She had no words to offer her daughter. Deep down inside, her heart was breaking, overflowing with indescribable sadness and pain. All she could do right now was to hold Rouhani tightly, just like she did the day she was born. Charzette had been watching and patiently waiting for her turn to connect with Rouhani. After an hour, Rouhani finally stood up and passionately embraced her sister. Charzette couldn't hold back the tears as she hugged her sister tightly. You will come home, Charzette confidently said. Rouhani sat down in the large armchair and invited Charzette to sit on her lap. Charzette excitedly sat down in her sister's lap and immediately flashed her hand in front of her face. This is your ring, Rouhani. Rouhani carefully gazed back at the tiny ring on Shahzad's middle finger. It was a white gold ring with 9 diamond-like carats brightly glistening in her eyes. Her grandmother had given it to Sholi, and in turn, Sholi had given the ring to Rouhani several years ago. Rouhani had worn it in prison until one day the guard confiscated it and insisted that she return it to her family. Since that time, Charzette had been proudly wearing it. It was waiting for the day to give it back to her sister once she was released. This ring belongs to you, Charzette proclaimed. You must come home and get your ring. Please don't doubt at all that you will come back. Charzette was filled with hope and optimism that Rouhani would soon be released. She was confident that Jalal Sarbandi would forgive Rouhani at the last minute before her execution. Rouhani quietly listened and did not respond. Suddenly, Shahzad's eyes beamed with excitement. When you come home, we will be roommates. I will give you back your ring and all of your clothes, Shahzad promised. I asked God to preserve you, and I am sure that he will give you back to us. Rouhani was overcome with emotion. She couldn't hold back her tears. Shahzad had rarely seen Rouhani cry. But at this moment, she melted at the words of hope her sister had said to her. Charzette reached into her pocket and gently wiped the tears away from Rahane's face with her tissue paper. Don't cry, Sharal, Rahane's other sister exclaimed, interrupted. You will laugh at these tears on our Sunday visit. Charzette embraced Rouhani, kissing her on the lips while holding her tight. Her heart was overflowing with hope that God would intervene and spare her life. It was nearly 5 p.m. The allotted time for the last visitation was rapidly coming to an end. Rouhani stared at the clock on the wall. She noticed her father Feridun anxiously waiting to hold her. Shahrzad gently kissed her sister for the last time and climbed down off of her lap. Rahane gazed intently into her father's eyes. He was standing a few feet away from the armchair. Feridun was her hero. They were so much alike. Both of them lived a simple and quiet life, calm, reserved, and like her father, Rahane was a person of few words. Rahane finally stood up from the armchair and gracefully walked up to her father, with dignity and poise like a bride on her wedding day. Feridun tightly embraced his daughter. Rahane rested her head against his chest, refusing to let go. "Be strong, Rahane," Feridun admonished her, fighting back the tears. He gazed deeply into her brown eyes. "Remember, you are Kurdish, and Kurdish girls are strong, strong like a mountain." Rahane's eyes began to fill up with tears. She nodded her head in agreement with what her father had just said. Then she softly whispered into his ears, "Daddy, I will not deny that he was going to rape me. I will not lie." Feridun embraced Rahane tightly once again. He knew his daughter never lied. She was not guilty. For 7 long years, the evil regime had been brutally persistent, using psychological torture to force Rahane to change her original story in order to clear Sarbandi's reputation. Once again, Rahane whispered into her father's ear to conceal what she was saying from the guards. "I am sure I will not be back. Please take care of Mum." Rahane's final words pierced through Feridun's heart like a sharp knife. He did not want to accept that his daughter would be hanged. The family was holding out hope that the international campaign would somehow put pressure on the government, and once again, the execution would be miraculously postponed. As Rahane held tightly onto her father, she noticed her aunt Nafis emerging from one of the spare rooms inside of the office. Upon her arrival, she had immediately stepped into the small room to say afternoon prayers for Rahane. Today was a rare occasion for Aunt Nafis to visit her niece. Since Rahane's case was so political, she had been banned from visitation because of her job as a university teacher. However, today, an exception had been made in Nafis's favor to visit her niece for the last time to say goodbye. Rahane tightly embraced Aunt Nafis, kissing her on both cheeks. After a few moments, they both sat down across from each other and held hands. Suddenly, two female guards interrupted their conversation. It was 5:15 p.m. The visit had ended, and it was time for Rahane to leave. Rahane reluctantly stood up. The room became utterly quiet for a few moments. Then Aunt Nafis stood up and looked deeply into Rahane's eyes. "I trust in God," Nafis proclaimed. "God will bring you back between my arms." Rahane was hurriedly escorted away, walking swiftly between two female guards. Aunt Nafis quickly poured a glass of water onto the floor behind Rahane as she was escorted away. Pouring water behind someone was a sacred ritual that was supposed to provide safety for the traveler's journey. Aunt Nafis noticed that Rahane turned her head back around to catch a final glimpse of her family. Nafis closed her eyes and folded her hands in prayer, trusting that God would bring her back into her arms. This concludes the reading of Chapter 1 of my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. I want us now to hear a very, very special song performed by Vangelis and Jan Anderson from Yes, a song fitting for Rahane as we light a candle to honor her today. This song is entitled Anyone Light a Candle.
Anyone can light a candle.
The music of Jan Anderson and Vangelis, Anyone Can Light a Candle, a tribute to the beautiful soul of Rahane today. I want to continue reading now and reflecting on the memories of Sholeh and Shahzad and Shahri of their daughter and sister. There is no greater love than a mother's love. When Sholeh gazed deeply into Rahane's beautiful brown eyes and stroked her curly black hair, she was grateful to the Lord for such a wonderful child. Rahane was a present, Sholeh declared, a gift from paradise for me. Sholeh dedicated Rahane's birth in a special way by writing in her Quran that she was a special gift from paradise. She also wrote her birthday tributes to Shahzad and Shahri on a blank page in their Quran. Reflecting on Rahane's behavior as a young girl, Sholeh observed that while other children of her age begged, shouted and demanded if they wanted something, and threw a tantrum, Rahane never did that. Reminiscing on the early days of her childhood, Sholeh described Rahane as a harmless and meek child that taught me to forgive those who hurt me and not to judge others. When Rahane was just 2 years old, Sholeh was busy pursuing a career at Tehran University as an actress in a fine arts program for drama. Despite her busy lifestyle, Sholeh never neglected Rahane and let her stay at home with the babysitter. Instead, she took Rahane to class with her at the university. Sholeh described a humorous incident one day in her history of arts class with the instructor, who was giving a slide presentation of famous architectural works. Rahane sat at the front of the class, fascinated by the slideshow. Suddenly her eyes fixated on a picture of King Louis's famous chair, and she blurted out in class, "Mummy, will you buy that for me?" The class burst into laughter and later reminded Cholet of Rahane's humorous request. "Dear Cholet, have you ever purchased that chair for Rahane?" The college students enjoyed playing with Rahane. They loved her curly black hair and would run their hands through it, laughing and joking with her. Rahane's favorite time at class was during rehearsal, when the students would sing and practice their drama skits. Her beautiful brown eyes grew wide with excitement as she carefully watched them, and she excitedly clapped her hands along with the music. The students loved to entertain Rahane while they sang, so they put her on their laps and let her touch the piano keys. Her face would glow with joy when she tapped the piano keys, creating a beautiful childlike melody as the students lifted their voices in singing. There were many amusing, humorous, and delightful memories that Cholet would never forget about Rahane, but one memory stood out among all of them. It was a very painful memory that Cholet was reluctant to share because it was so haunting and so prophetic. Once, when Rahane was just 11 years old, she complained of having a sore throat. Cholet quickly made her a glass of warm salt water and instructed her to gargle with it. Rahane trembled with fear, refusing to gargle with the salt water. Cholet was perplexed and asked why. Rahane replied that she was afraid of choking and suffocating. From that time onward, Rahane refused to wear tight clothing around her neck because she was terrified of not being able to breathe from choking. As Sholi reminisced about Rahane's childhood fear of choking, tears filled her eyes. Her childhood fear of choking would one day become a horrible prophetic reality, and that reality would thrust a sword of injustice through Cholet's heart that would never heal. Shahrzad's memories. There was a unique and special bond of love between the Jabari sisters. Both Shahrzad and Shahri always looked up to Rahane and gained their inspiration from her as a positive role model. As a child of 3 years old, Shahrzad's first important memory of Rahane was when the family moved to Karaj, Iran. At that time, Rahane was only 8 years old, and like a typical Iranian child, she loved playing games, and one of her favorite games involved a real live chicken. Rahane, Sharer, and Shahrzad spent most of their day chasing the chicken in a game of tag. They would run after the chicken, laughing and yelling, "You're it!" until the chicken found a place to hide or until the girls collapsed from exhaustion. One memorable day, Shahrzad recalls with a look of sadness and despair in her eyes, they were chasing the chicken on the balcony when suddenly the wind blew the door shut, slamming against the brittle legs of the helpless chicken. The chicken became ill because of its damaged legs and finally died. The death of the chicken greatly affected the three sisters, and their joyful game of tag suddenly melted into sadness and sorrow. Rahane buried their pet chicken in the backyard, and together they put a stone on top of the grave as a marker. Every day the three sisters would put flowers on the grave and say some prayers from the Quran to make the dead chicken's spirit happy and forgive all of its sins. Shahrzad described Rahane as a loving and caring sister who spent her life always helping her. When she was in the 7th grade struggling to learn English, Shahrzad remembers Rahane staying up late at night with her to help her prepare for exams. "She calmed my stress and nerves," Shahrzad said, "and I was so grateful. Rahane sacrificed her time to help me, even though she was busy with her own studies from university." There was one particular memorable moment, Shahrzad recalls, that I will never forget, in which my sister was there for me when I was so weak and afraid. One night after eating pizza, Shahrzad contracted food poisoning and became so sick that she thought she was going to die. The next morning, Feridun and Rahane took her to the doctor to have her body cleansed from the poison. Shahrzad was terrified and crying. To ease her fears, Rahane carried Shahrzad in her arms from the doctor's office because she was so weak and had no energy in her legs to walk. From the time she was a little child until her adult years, Shahrzad remembered Rahane as a dedicated and unselfish sister who was always there for her in her time of need. Shahrzad's memories. The Jabari sisters shared many precious childhood experiences together that became very special memories. If chasing chickens was Shahrzad's fondest memory of Rahane, then making igloos was Shahrzad's. When Rahane was just 14 and Shahrzad had just turned 11, they created the famous Igloo of Tehran atop the balcony of their home. It had been a very cold winter with tons of snow blanketing the city streets and making driving a frustrating experience. During the harsh winter of 2001, with school canceled for the day, Rahane, Shahrzad, Shahri, and five other children decided to spend their day off creating an igloo. They found a tiny tin pan from Sholay's kitchen and used it to carefully make the bricks. Then, using their fingerprints in the palms of their hands, they designed patterns on the frozen snow of the igloo for special decorations. With the bitter cold wind blowing hard against their chapped faces, they finally finished their famous igloo and dedicated their creation by sticking the flag of Iran on top of it. This was one of the happiest memories I have of Rahane during our childhood, Shahrzad proudly said, remembering their special time as if it was just yesterday. Rahane was a very supportive sister, Shahrzad explained. She was full of positive energy, always eager to help me and Shahrzad with our problems. She never displayed sadness or stress. She was as strong as a mountain. Shahrzad said, describing the character of Rahane and how positive she impacted her everyday life. Getting up at 4 a.m. was her everyday routine as she prepared for the long journey to class at Basir University, which was 3 hours traveling distance from Tehran. Every day she traveled the metro to Karaj and then took the bus the rest of the way to the tiny city of Abek. Rahane studied computer software and also worked part-time for the Triage advertising company in Tehran. Her goal was to one day become a supervisor at a printing office making brochures for advertising. Love and compassion were the dominant qualities that Shahri remembers about Rahane. One time, Shahrzad's mobile bill was too high, and she was afraid to tell her mother, so Rahane willingly gave her sister the money to avoid a confrontation. Generosity, mercy, and compassion flowed from the character of Rahane. Reflecting back on their adventurous, humorous, and fun-filled childhood, both Shahrzad and Shahri will forever remember their sister as fully living up to the meaning of her name, the beautiful fragrance. A grandmother's memories. The love of a mother is a very special and unique love that forms an unbreakable bond between her and her child. Yet perhaps even more of a unique love is the love of a grandmother lavished upon her grandchild. Jalal Jafar was one such grandmother who adored and watched over Rahane with a dedicated love that began at her birth. Like all grandmothers, Jalal was willing to be the on-call babysitter while her daughter Sholay went to university to pursue her career in acting. Rahane had just turned 2 years old and had adopted a doll as her special child, like all little girls do. Jalal was fascinated by how Rahane treated this lifeless doll and cared for it. The doll was not very beautiful, like most dolls, but Rahane treated it like a queen, like her very own child. She invited Jalal to pet the doll and give it snacks and food. Rahane talked to the doll like a real person, fed it snacks, and kissed it frequently. She would hold the doll tightly and pet it gently on the back. Jalal was so impressed with the love and compassion that Rahane gave her lifeless doll that she mentioned it to her students in the class that she taught. Rahane's treatment of the doll had taught Jalal a very important lesson on love and how human beings ought to treat each other. The memories of how Rahane showed love and compassion to a plastic doll were memories that Jalal would treasure for the rest of her life. Rahane's innocent childhood of chasing chickens, building igloos, and playing with dolls was about to be transformed into a nightmare beyond anything she could ever imagine. I want us to take a very short break right now as we conclude this very special dedication I want you to hear a song by Joe Cocker that I used in making a video tribute to Rahane. This is something called You Are So Beautiful to Me. October 24th, 2014, 2 hours after the last visit. It had only been 2 hours since Rahane's family had left to see her for the last time. She could still see her mother's tear-soaked eyes staring up at her. She could still feel her mother's arms around her. Now she was all alone in the cold steel coffin of solitary confinement. Rahane fell to her knees and quietly sobbed. She had held her emotions in for far too long now, and they finally were gushing out of her. Suddenly, she was interrupted by a tap on the tiny window of the steel door. She quickly composed herself and ran towards the door. It was Sahar. She had a worried look on her face. Sahar stretched her hand through the slit in the door where the food was delivered. She desperately wanted to touch Rahane's hand to comfort her, but Rahane pushed it away and turned her back. Go! I will lose my strength if I see you. I want to bring you dinner, Sahar replied with a tone of compassion in her voice. I don't have an appetite, Rahane snapped back. But you haven't eaten anything since morning. I don't want to eat anything. Sahar reluctantly turned her back and walked away from the steel door in tears. Promptly at 12 midnight, two guards awakened Rahane from a deep sleep. She was quickly escorted from her solitary confinement cell into a waiting van that would take her to Rajshahar prison for the execution. It was about a 90-minute drive, and Rahane was scheduled to be hanged just before dawn. During the 90-minute trip, she sat quietly, gazing out the window into the dark and cold October night. For a few fleeting moments, Rahane thought about her birthday. In just 12 days, she would turn 27. Immediately as she thought about her age, she bowed her head in despair. There would be no celebration this year. The van entered through a steel gate at approximately 1:45 a.m. and came to a halt outside of a large building. Rahane was quickly escorted through the main entrance and processed. The two male guards on each side of her promptly took her into a large conference setting known as the interrogator's room. For the next 2 hours, she would be subject to an intense interrogation for the last time. Rouhani sat down in a chair facing the table. Two large Muslim men dressed in gray uniforms marched into the room and sat down across from Rouhani. The intense light blinded Rouhani's eyes. She lifted her hand up in front of her face and rubbed her forehead to relieve the intense pressure from a headache. She had only slept for 2 hours and was extremely weak and exhausted. She still had a fever and a sore throat. Her stomach began growling from lack of food. Officers from the Mullah and intelligence offices swarmed into the room with the film crew. One of the tall, muscular interrogators looked Rouhani intently into her eyes and screamed, "Just say he didn't try to rape you. Just confess that you bought a knife to kill Sarbandi." Hot lights flashed directly into Rahane's eyes. The lens of the video cameras focused tightly upon her face. Rouhani lifted her hands up to protect her face. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator screamed once again. Rahane's heart began to race from fear. She desperately wanted to crawl underneath the table and hide. She was weary and exhausted from the same questions and accusations over and over again. Taking a deep breath, she could see her father in her mind's eyes, encouraging her for the last time, staring in her face, saying, be strong, Rouhani. Don't forget that you are Kurdish." Rouhani slowly raised her head up and proudly looked her interrogators in their eyes. "I can't. I won't lie," she proclaimed with a loud voice. Almost on command, two male guards immediately approached Rouhani and pulled her up out of her chair. Rouhani didn't resist. She had no strength left in her body. Then one of the guards struck her in the face with the palm of his hand. Rouhani collapsed onto the floor. The cameras followed her down on the floor. She lay still for a few moments, moaning in pain. Then one of the guards pulled her back up from the floor and sat her down once again in the chair. The interrogator pushed his face up against Rahane's face. Rouhani was trembling. She couldn't look at him. "You purchased a knife to kill Sarbandi, didn't you?" the interrogator demanded. Rouhani remained quiet. Eventually felt the heavy palm of a hand strike her firmly on the cheek. Rouhani screamed and fell backwards in her chair against the wall. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator screamed in her face once again. Rouhani was so weary. She felt faint. The fever continued to rage within her body. Brief moment, Rouhani slowly raised up her head with the last drop of strength that remained. She gave the interrogator a defiant look from her tear-soaked eyes. "I can't. I won't lie." Disgusted, the interrogators kicked Rahane's chair and ordered everyone out of the room. He slammed the door shut. Rouhani fell forward and laid her weary head upon the conference table. At 4:15 a.m., Rouhani was escorted back to the van. She sat down in the van and leaned her head back. The van quickly drove away from the large interrogation building down the roads toward an open field complex. Within a few minutes, the van came to a halt. Rouhani looked out the window and saw a large platform surrounded by bright lights. In the center of the platform was a dangling noose and a tall chair. A sharp pain shot across her chest. She nervously swallowed. The two male guards hurried her out of the van. They walked up a short flight of stairs, arriving in the center of the platform. Rouhani could feel the cold autumn air stinging her in the face. This morning, she was wearing the same clothes that she dressed in to see her family for the last time. A white shawl covering her head with colored butterflies, a navy blue chador decorated with many tiny flowers, a navy blue shirt, and black trousers. Rouhani stood silently on the platform in the dark, cold night with the bright spotlights illuminating the stage. Out of the corner of her eye, she noticed Jalal Sarbandi and his family arriving on the platform. They stood at a distance of 25 feet from her. Jalal refused to look Rouhani in her eyes. Instead, he turned away and held his mother in his arms to comfort her. At that moment, the two executioners, with their face covered in black masks, took a firm grip of Rahane's arm. They helped her step up on top of the chair. One of the executioners then firmly placed the noose around Rahane's neck and tightened it. Rahane closed her eyes. Her whole body began to shake with fear. Sweat raced down her cheeks. She took a nervous, deep breath. Flashes from her childhood raced across her mind. She remembered as a little child being afraid to gargle with salt water for fear of choking. The horrible flashback in her mind was now a frightening reality. Rahane took another deep breath. She could see her mother's face and her eyes swollen red from crying. She could feel her arms tightly around her right now. Tears streamed down her face. Then she saw the beautiful face of the Christian girl who had miraculously visited her in her cell. She could see the tiny metal cross in the palm of the girl's hand. Rahane saw herself clutching the cross in her hand. A gentle wave of comfort filled her soul. The pain, the fear, the hurts, and the bitterness began melting away. Rahane stared up at the black sky. Where was she? Nervously mumbled to herself, "Don't you care? Don't you love me?" Rahane then turned her head and for the first time gazed into Jalal Sarbandi's eyes. She could see fear and frustration beaming out from his eyes toward her. "Forgive me for the sake of my mother," Rahane whispered out loud. Rahane looked back toward the heavens and took a nervous deep breath. Then she gazed back at Jalal. "I swear to God that you will repent later and find out that you were wrong. Later you find out that I was innocent." Jalal walked away from the arms of his mother. Rahane swallowed nervously and closed her eyes. With a firm and forceful kick, the chair fell out from underneath Rahane's feet. There was a quick and forceful snap, and then an eerie silence followed. Dangling on a rope suspended between heaven and earth, beautiful Rose of Persia breathed her last. Rahane bowed her head and kissed the face of God. This is my tribute poem to Rahane. It's called "The Beautiful Rose of Persia." There is a rose that was silenced, that was crushed, but it will live again. The sun will shine again. You gave us hope, gave us healing, gave us life. Your life will never end. The rose will live again. The sun is going to shine again. The rose is going to live again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to touch the sky. I want to soar. I want to read to you in conclusion a very special event that took place just a few days after the execution to celebrate Rahane's birthday. She would have been 27. And I want to read this to you. On Thursday, November 6, 2014, family members and friends gathered at Sholay Pakravan's tiny apartment to celebrate what would have been Rahane's 27th birthday. More than 50 people came together to celebrate and commemorate Rahane's brief life that had been cut short by an evil and corrupt regime. It had only been 12 days since the execution. Sholay's little apartment was filled with every type of flower, from roses to carnations to jasmine, even one plant that was proudly named Rahane's flower. A large banner with a beautiful color picture of Rahane testifying in court dangled from the ceiling, trimmed on each side with red, green, and yellow balloons. There were pictures and portraits of Rahane as a young girl and university student placed on tables and hanging on the walls. The apartment was filled with the presence of Rahane and a special celebration of her very short life. Sholeh had purchased a large cake with a picture of Rouhani in the center of it. The cake was decorated with 27 bright yellow burning candles. The birthday celebration was not restricted to only Rouhani's home. Sholeh had posted a special invitation on Facebook asking all of Rouhani's supporters to light a candle and post a picture in honor of her birthday. Thousands of people from all over the world participated by posting a picture of Rouhani and a candle in commemoration of her life. Each of the guests in Sholeh's apartment were given a candle to hold in their hands. The lights were dimmed, and each candle was lit. Mohammed Pakravan, Sholeh's cousin, gently played a special song in his guitar dedicated to Rouhani as the candles illuminated the darkness in an emotional tribute. Sholeh gazed down at the picture of Rouhani on her birthday cake. She was overwhelmed with so many memories. Her hand was trembling as she cut the cake. Fairy Doon put his arm around Sholeh to comfort her in the midst of her sorrow and pain. While Muhammad continued playing his special song, the room was suddenly filled with the glow of many candles, chasing away the darkness with a blaze of light. Everyone's heart was heavy with grief and pain, and yet, for a few precious moments, their sadness melted away in the glow of the candlelights. It was obvious that Rouhani was there among them. She was present at her birthday party after all. Her beautiful fragrance filled the room as family members and friends held their candles high in the air and remember how their lives had been impacted by her. Rouhani's courage, love, and beauty permeated the room with a glorious presence, chasing away the painful darkness for a few brief moments. Their evil regime had not won. Rouhani's love had conquered their evil schemes, and tonight at her birthday party, the beautiful fragrance was there with them in spirit. Love had won, and death had lost. Rouhani would live on forever in their hearts by the power of her indestructible love. I wish I could have read this whole book for you, because it has been the dream of my life, an answer of prayer to write this. And I think back to the pictures that Sholeh posted of that book on Rouhani's grave. This day, the 2-year anniversary of her execution. So many people fought hard and loved Rouhani. And I just wanted to share with you from my book a couple of tributes. This one from my good friend Hannah. Rest in peace, Rouhani. You are forever loved, forever remembered, and your bravery through torture and death will forever inspire what your tormentors hoped to accomplish by so cruelly taking you from us was to no avail, because they cannot take you from our hearts. Hannah. This is from Nazreen in the UK. Rouhani was a brave woman. She defended herself in a society where there is no law and order. The women and religious minorities are second-class citizens. Many people all over the world tried to save her, but the barbaric fundamentalist regime executed her. I know she will never be forgotten, and in the future, women in a free Iran will pay tribute to her in their daily lives by having rights, freedom, and democracy. She is a hero. And this comes from Miriam. Rehan, my dearest, you are an angel from God. But we weren't good trustees. We let this hateful regime cut your wings. Death picked you off, and we only watched it. Rehan, death wasn't the end of your life. You are immortalized. My beautiful Rehan, I'm sure you are happy and in complete relief now. The difficulties of this life continue for us, but you sleep well in God's arms. Miriam. A good, good friend of Rouhani. As I hold this book in my hands, I think of so many people who fought hard and prayed for Mahane. I remember my night at work, and I wrote this in a blog in my book, but I share this with you. Just a few hours before her execution, I was sitting in the chapel at work, at the hospital where I work, praying for Mahane. And an unbelievable thing happened that I'll never forget. My cell phone was sitting next to me, and suddenly it just kind of came to life for some reason. There was a video that had been posted from YouTube, and it was a video. At that time, I didn't know that the execution had already taken place because of the big time change between St. Louis and Tehran. It was a video of Sholeh sobbing, crying maniacally in a van outside of the prison, and she had just received the news of Rahane's death by hanging. I can't forget that night, nor do I want to, because it was at that night that I connected with Rahane and her family in a most remarkable God-ordained way, praying in that chapel. And then it was later on that it was officially posted to Facebook that she had been executed. And I remember pausing from work, going to some place out of the way. I think it was the trash room where I had supplies. And I posted to Facebook about Rahane's execution, just tears streaming down my face. It is a day that none of us will ever forget. But we have this hope, and we have this truth that is stronger than death and pain. You see, something I didn't read in the book that I want to share with you. While Rahane was in prison, she had a miraculous visitation, which can only be described as an angel. A young girl came into her cell, talking about Jesus to her, sharing with her from the Bible. She called herself a Christian girl, and Rahane was totally shocked how this girl got into her cell, how she was roaming the halls late at night. This young girl handed Rahane a tiny metal cross and gave it to her. Rahane was shocked because just as soon as this girl had appeared, she had disappeared. Rahane woke up the next morning thinking it had all been a dream. You know, I mean, when you're in prison, so many psychological things, from psychological problems to illnesses, can just cause your mind to go crazy. And then she reached underneath her pillow, and there was the metal cross. It wasn't a dream. The result of this is that Rahane wanted to read the Bible, and through some effort from a friend, they got a Bible into her cell. They kind of had to smuggle it. You know, the Bible's really not welcome in Iran. And she read it twice. And it was at that time, that moment in her existence, that she for the first time was so gripped by the love and forgiveness of God in Jesus. And that's why, as we reflect on this horrible, unjust execution that Rahane went through, and it is unjust, today she is at home with Jesus. Her misery and suffering and pain have been rewarded. What she went through, that injustice, will one day be completely resolved by God Himself. Because God is the hope of all Iranians. God hears the hearts and cries of every Iranian. He has not forgotten them. And one day He shall bring justice to Iranians everywhere. So when I think of this unjust execution, I remember very clearly that she is at home with Jesus. There are no more tears, no more sorrows, no more pains. That is not wishful thinking. That is a reality. Through this very painful process, the Lord has brought me so close to Sholeh and her family. I call them affectionately my adopted family in Iran, because that's how close they are to me. And I believe with all of my heart that somehow, some way, in the providence of God, we will meet one day. I know this, one day in eternity in heaven, I believe I will have the wonderful opportunity to meet with Rahane, and we will look back on our experiences of pain and sorrow, and we will say to each other, there is no comparison to those sufferings to what now we are experiencing in God's heaven, because it was worth all of the pain and suffering to know there is a God that will bring you home with him, and that he will take care of all of the injustices done against you, because he's a just God. And so as I end this very special tribute today, I want to thank you so much for sharing it with me, for coming into the chat room today. Thank you so much, dear Vito. You are such a dedicated person, and thank you so much for being here with me and sharing with me this very special tribute. For every one of you that have shared this with me, I want you to know that my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, is available on Amazon.com. Please read it, and please be a voice for my dear friend, Rahane. She is someone that I never met in person, but I've had the chance to get to know in such a unique and special way through her family and through her prison letters. She is extraordinary and inspiring, and she is a symbol every woman in Iran that is suffering. Those stories of every other woman will one day be told just like Rahane's. And one day, in God's perfect providence, he will bring an end to the pain and the suffering of the many thousands of Rahane's in prison in Iran. Thank you for taking this very, very special and painful journey with me today. God bless you. I will see you soon again on the cross in the desert. Have a great week.